I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the local government news roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more. Coming up on the local government news roundup, the abrupt resignation of a councillor partway through a council meeting. Reports that key Operation Sandon witnesses have been told they'll not face prosecution. A Sydney council removes public forums from its formal council meetings. An historic funding agreement for rebuilding roads and bridges in Lismore. New mayors take office in Queensland. And a WA councillor under fire for his support of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Just some of the many local government stories getting our attention today. Let's round them up. Hello there, I'm Chris Eddy. Welcome back to the Roundup after the Easter break. This is our 2nd of April edition, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. Cam Nation, a councillor and former mayor of the city of Moonee Valley, has abruptly resigned during a council meeting last week. ABC News reported that Mr. Nation cited poor pay and limited work opportunities outside the municipality as reasons for his decision. His sensational resignation came 5 minutes into the meeting and was effective immediately, taking fellow councillors by surprise. The Victorian Electoral Commission will conduct a vote countback to replace Mr. Nation. The resignation comes at a time when the council is under scrutiny for governance issues, with the government having appointed Philip Carruthers and Prue Digby as municipal monitors earlier this year. The council has confirmed the resignation in a formal statement, and former councillor Nation has already been removed from the list of councillors on its website. Key witnesses in the IBAC investigation, Operation Sandon, including former Casey councillor Jeff Ablett, have been informed they will not be prosecuted, according to a report last week by The Australian. The Operation Sandon investigation looked into allegedly corrupt land deals involving Casey councillors and developer John Woodman. The final report accused Ablett and former Mayor Sam Aziz of accepting payments from Woodman. However, Ablett has now reportedly been informed he will not be referred for prosecution. The investigation has been criticised for its impact on the lives of those being investigated, including former Mayor Amanda Stapledon, who took her life in January 2022 after receiving IBAC's draft report. As reported briefly at the end of our last episode, Melbourne Lord Mayor Sally Capp has announced that she will not run for re-election in October and will step down at the end of June after 6 years in the role. Deputy Mayor Nicholas Rees will step into the Lord Mayor position until the elections later in the year. Lord Mayor Capp said the highlights of her time in the role include the redevelopment of the Queen Victoria Market Precinct and the Green Line project, while the COVID-19 lockdowns were a low point. In 2018, Sally Capp was the first woman to be directly elected as Melbourne Lord Mayor. She was subsequently re-elected in 2020. City of Ballarat Council staff may take industrial action for better wages, with the Ballarat Courier reporting this week that a proposed agreement has been rejected by 59% of the staff. The Australian Services Union claims the offer would make them the lowest paid council staff in Victoria. The union compared wages with other councils, claiming that wages in Bendigo and Geelong were at least $2 higher per hour. It says the Fair Work Commission has approved the union's application to commence a vote for protected industrial action. The council plans to recommence the bargaining process, aiming to satisfy all parties, balancing cost of living pressures with the long-term financial sustainability of the council. After successfully opposing a plan to remove hundreds of trees for a bike path in Caulfield East, some Glen Eira residents are now opposing the alternative location proposed for the path. The Age has reported that the new plan by the Level Crossing Removal Authority to put the path along Derby Crescent, linking two train stations and the Gering Trail, has prompted a petition to the council. Mayor Anne-Marie Cade said the council supports new cycling infrastructure, but that any solution must be well designed and balance community and local environment needs. She said the council would continue to advocate to the LXRP to ensure any proposed design for Derby Crescent includes revegetation and improved landscaping. Stephen Kingshott has been appointed as the new chairperson of the Victorian Local Government Grants Commission by the state government. Mr. Kingshott, who is a former councillor and a current municipal monitor at Glen Elg Shire, will serve as the commission's chair from this week through to October 31st, 2027. The commission is an independent statutory body which recommends the distribution of financial assistance grants for Victoria's councils, with over $747 million recommended for the 23-24 financial year. Briefly, in other news, Greater Shepparton City Council has received a commemorative Furphy tank end, one of only 15 manufactured, to celebrate 150 years of Furphy manufacturing in Shepparton. The gift was presented by Furphy Foundry and J. Furphy & Sons during an event at the Museum of Vehicle Evolution in Shepparton. The Rockbank Mount Cottrell area in the city of Melton is Australia's fastest growing region for the second year in a row, according to figures released by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Melton Mayor Councillor Cathy Majlik told the Star Weekly that the rapid transformation of Melton's greenfield suburbs is creating a lot of work, and that the council will continue to advocate for improved transport, health services, education options and local job opportunities. And Hepburn Shire and the Foundation for Young Australians have launched the Young Mayors Program, encouraging young people to participate in shaping their community through leadership roles. The program allows young people to nominate themselves for a youth council, with elections held through a democratic process. The program is open to those aged between 11 and 17 who live, work or study in Hepburn Shire. You're listening to the Local Government News Roundup. This episode is number 318, recorded on Tuesday the 2nd of April 2024. I do hope you managed to find some time to relax and recharge over the Easter break. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised recruitment and business advisory service. Sydney's Lane Cove Council has removed the public forum from its weekly meetings, reportedly to protect staff mental health. It's moved it to a separate day, and The Guardian reported that the decision has raised concerns about potential impacts on local democracy, as council attendance at the forums is no longer mandatory. The change was proposed due to concerns about staff psychosocial safety and inappropriate behaviour from community members during public forums. Lismore City Council has secured an historic funding agreement with the New South Wales Government for the rebuild of around 100 roads and bridges devastated by the 2022 natural disaster. The record investment of $860 million aims to streamline critical funding for transport infrastructure and provide certainty for the city and the community. The agreement also establishes a new expedited funding pathway for reconstruction efforts, ensuring upfront funding availability and removing risks and barriers for the council. The president of the Western Sydney Regional Organisation of Councils has refuted claims that councils are slowing down housing development applications in New South Wales. Barry Calvert says the state's housing crisis is due to multiple factors, including shortages of construction materials and labour, rising interest rates and falling housing prices. He's criticised the New South Wales government's e-planning portal and called for a review of the state public services processes, emphasising the need for a cooperative approach to the housing crisis involving all stakeholders. Sutherland Shire Council CEO Manjeet Gruel says behaviour by Councillor Kent Johns captured in recordings does not reflect the council's values and is a disservice to the community. Councillor Johns has apologised for offensive comments and actions made while under the influence of alcohol in 2022, and he's asked for forgiveness. According to the St George and Sutherland Shire leader, in the recordings, Councillor Johns is heard to make insults about the Shire community and offensive remarks toward the LGBTI community. He's requested a leave of absence from his civic duties, which will be considered at an upcoming council meeting. In Queensland, the wash-up from the elections is just about done. Frank Wilkie is the new mayor of Noosa Council, and he's outlined his next steps after his election victory was confirmed last week. Wilkie, a former journalist and teacher, secured 40.1% of the votes. His priorities include keeping rates low, addressing traffic issues, and improving environmental protections. He told the Sunshine Coast News that he plans to work with the new council, which includes a mix of experienced and new community-minded councillors, and he'll collaborate with neighbouring councils and other tiers of government. Television presenter Rosanna Natoli has been declared the first female mayor of the Sunshine Coast Council after winning 27% of votes. She'll serve alongside her husband, Councillor Joe Natoli, and says she'll resign from her television presenting and university lecturing jobs. Ms. Natoli has cited infrastructure as a top priority for her term, according to a report from ABC News. The Electoral Commission has declared the mayors for Lockyer Valley, Somerset and Scenic Rim councils. Tanya Milligan has been re-elected as Lockyer Valley Mayor. Jason Went has been elected as Somerset Regional Council Mayor. And Tom Sharp has been elected as Scenic Rim Regional Council Mayor. Radio station River 949 reported that their respective plans include building relationships with new councillors, addressing road conditions and council efficiency, managing urban expansion, and reforming budgets and council culture. Just back to Noosa for a moment. Illegal camping patrols have resulted in numerous fines and warnings there. Specific locations were targeted, and a 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. no parking zone trial in Noosa Woods and Noosa Spit has been deemed successful in reducing illegal camping. The council is considering implementing tow-away zones in high-demand parking areas to further curb illegal camping. Fines for the practice can reach up to $309 and can be higher if taken to court. Across to Western Australia, Perth City Council has rejected a deal from the WA government for a free inner-city primary school, with the council voting 7-1 against the proposal. WAMN News reported that the council wants a better offer and is unwilling to give up the land for free. Education Minister Tony Butey has criticised the council's decision, arguing that the government's offer to build a state-of-the-art primary school valued at around $150 million is much better than a car park. He also noted the school would provide major social and community benefits and attract people to move into the area. Despite the rejection, the government remains committed to building the school. A recently elected Port Hedland councillor has appeared on Russian television to congratulate Vladimir Putin on his election victory. Adrian McRae described the win as the most transparent in the world, in contrast to Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong's view that it was an insult to democracy. WA Premier Roger Cook said Councillor McRae's behaviour and comments were regrettable and that he expected the people of Port Hedland to express their dissatisfaction. Councillor McRae was elected in an extraordinary election earlier this year, but his swearing-in was delayed as he was in Russia at the time of the election, only returning to Australia last week. ABC News reported that he was sworn in at a ceremony in Port Hedland last Wednesday. And former City of Bayswater Central Ward Councillor Sally Palmer has been re-elected to the city's North Ward, securing almost 60% of votes. The extraordinary election was held following the resignation of Philomena Pifferetti as a councillor just prior to last year's elections, before she successfully contested the vote for mayor. Palmer hopes the council will work respectfully together, focusing on advocating for the local youth committee and investing in large-scale community events. Perth Now reported that the extraordinary election came at a cost of around $70,000 to the council. Briefly, in other news, West Arnhem Regional Council has elected Councillor James Woods as its new mayor. Councillor Woods, who was elected to the council in 2021, takes over from Matthew Ryan, who resigned the position recently after being appointed chair of the Northern Land Council. Councillor Steve Brown has resigned from the 14th Alice Springs Town Council due to ongoing health and personal issues. First elected in 2012, Brown has been a strong advocate for community improvements. His resignation was effective immediately, and the council will follow a process to fill the vacancy. Applications are being taken for the general manager position at Lithgow City Council in New South Wales. MacArthur is handling the process to replace Craig Butler, who is set to retire at the end of June. And WA's City of Melville has teamed up with more than 20 local governments to raise awareness about the importance of trees. The third year of the WA Tree Festival is on from the 6th of April to the 5th of May, with a variety of events and activities, including workshops, art sessions, and a two-day green lab for children. Listening to the Local Government News Roundup as we catch up on a few stories from before the Easter break. We'll be back to our regular episode schedule very soon. A reminder that you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The latest episodes will always be free, but subscribers have access to our complete back catalogue and the occasional special episodes released for subscribers only. If you'd like to find out more, head to our website at lgnewsroundup.com. And if you've already become a subscriber, thank you so much for your support for the Local Government News Roundup. Now for today's international spotlight, falling firstly in the UK, Councillor Simon Nash of West Norfolk Council is refusing to step down from his committee positions, despite a misconduct ruling and repeated requests from Council Leader Terry Parish. Councillor Nash, who's been involved in a nine-year feud with the council, was reprimanded for sending hundreds of emails to staff accusing them of corruption and malpractice. He claims his conduct hearing was conducted unlawfully and has lodged a complaint with the local government ombudsman. The council has refuted Nash's claims and has not received a formal challenge to the hearing's decision. The Eastern Daily Press reported that the council has gained the reputation as being the most cantankerous in Norfolk, describing frequent bickering between opposing parties, leading to lengthy and frustrating debates. A West Yorkshire council will mark a number of firsts when its new mayor is sworn in May. Nosheen Dadd will make history as the youngest ever mayor of Kirklees, as well as the first woman of colour and first Muslim woman to hold the role. She aims to amplify the voices of everyone in Kirklees, celebrating the work, community cohesion and the selflessness of people. The new civic team for Kirklees will take office at the mayor-making ceremony on Wednesday, the 22nd of May. To the US state of Indiana, Fort Wayne Mayor Thomas C. Henry, who served the city for over 16 years, making him the longest-serving mayor in the city's history, has died at the age of 72. He had announced his late-stage stomach cancer diagnosis just last month. Despite facing controversies, including a drink-driving charge, Henry focused on downtown development and public safety during his tenure. He's remembered for his service to Fort Wayne and his efforts to make it a vibrant, thriving city. Following his death, Deputy Mayor Carl Bandima has been sworn in as Fort Wayne's acting mayor until the Allen County Democratic Party elects a replacement within a 30-day deadline. The Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette has reported that at least two other candidates for mayor have already emerged since the mayor's passing last week, including current councilwoman Michelle Chambers. No date has yet been set for the caucus to elect a new mayor, which must occur before the 27th of April. If it doesn't, Acting Mayor Bandima would remain in the position until April 2027. From Canada, a proposal by Alberta Premier Danielle Smith to introduce legislation allowing political parties at the municipal level in larger cities is being met with significant opposition. Critics, including Alberta municipalities and the mayors of Alberta's two largest cities, argue that the move could introduce divisiveness into local governments and hinder their ability to work across orders of government. Municipal World reports also that public sentiment appears to be against the idea, with over 70% of respondents in a provincial government survey disagreeing with the concept of allowing political parties at the municipal level. And finally, from New Zealand, over $16,600 has been spent on handling code of conduct complaints against city councillors in Waikato since the 2022 election. The Waikato Times reported that the majority of complaints were not upheld, and none have led to serious consequences. The most complaints against one councillor, with five cases, all relate to his Facebook posts. The complaints have largely been dismissed by the targeted councillors as attempts to suppress their free speech. And that wraps up another edition of the Local Government News Roundup. This edition recorded on Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson. You can find the links to the stories referenced in the episode and a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. While you're there, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news soon. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. As Victorian councils go to elections later this year, the VLGA is ready to support communities and councils in good governance. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on standing for local government and local women leading change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 Local Government Election Pre-Candidate Prospectus, available soon. Find out more about how the VLGA can support your council and community during this important time in the local government election cycle. Visit vlga.org.au.